In an effort to imitate our spiritual father, this homily this evening will be brief. As Bishop Morin alluded to on Sunday, on Passion Sunday, long gospel, short homily. But aside from the often made jest about the length of homilies, there is a fittingness to such an approach today. As we listen and enter into the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is fitting because what is before us is what St. Paul refers to as the mega mysterion, the great mystery. For a mystery so great as the passion and death of Jesus demands a certain silence. It calls for the human mind and heart to simply behold. Behold the mystery. To stand in awe, maybe to stand in confusion, or maybe in joy, in sadness, to stand in wonder. And to be in such a state, to be in a silent disposition to behold, we can not only see, but hear in the silence. We hear beauty speaking, "I thirst." You can just imagine Jesus hanging on the cross for hours, speaking very, very seldomly, because to speak only induces more agonizing pain. For hours he remains silent, yet at times he speaks. In the limited time he speaks, he knows that it will be much more pain. Yet in love, he says to us, "I thirst." What does he thirst for? What does he thirst for but the total offering of your heart and mind? For he said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all things to myself." On the cross, he is drawing us in. He is calling out to us. He cannot stand to be without us. He does not need us, but he wants us. He endures such pain to speak so that he can call out to you, "I thirst for you. I thirst for your heart." We can only offer him vinegar, sour wine, wine not pure, hearts that have been tainted by sin and selfishness, hearts that do not fully trust him. Yet in his infinite love and boundless mercy, he receives it, takes it. He drinks it in so that through him and with him and in him, it can be made pure. He desires to make us pure. As we behold so great a mystery, when we truly hear and see his thirst, his desire for us, what is our response? Do we imitate him and place his words upon our lips? "I thirst. Jesus, I desire you. I cannot live without you. Jesus, I thirst for you." Do we echo the words of Psalm 63? "O God, you are my God, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where no water is. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory." Or moreover, do our lives speak such words, "I thirst for you"? Do our actions reflect our thirst for Jesus? Do they show that there is nothing on earth that will separate us from the love of Christ? Is our relationship with the crucified Lord what we desire, what we thirst for most? Our Lord in his goodness provides a remedy for our thirst. After he had loved us to the end by dying for us, to fulfill the prophecy, he was pierced by the lance, and from his side flowed blood and water, the gifts of baptism and the Eucharist. And he constantly, through the grace of our baptism and through the reception of the Holy Eucharist, his body and blood, soul and divinity, he shares his own divine life with us, to satiate that infinite thirst that we have within our hearts, that thirst that only He can quench. My brothers and sisters, today let us behold the great mystery, the mystery of Jesus' love for each one of us and shown for us. Let us draw close to Him. And may we recognize that before we ever thirsted for Jesus, He thirsted for us with a thirst so deep and so great that He endured the passion and cross so that He might draw us by such a great mystery.